Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. I am your host, Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo, and I'm irritated because I watched The Valley. The next step in the evolution of Vanderpump Rules, where we get to see some chosen cast members experiment with parenthood, marriage, home ownership, and judging others. Now, there's a lot happening in Bravo universe in general, so we're going to go over a few things before we jump into The Valley. Portia Williams has apparently said why she filed for divorce from Simon, and it had to do with all the dust that was uncovered, the dust and the dirt of him trying to become a citizen since the 90s, but having some sketchiness in his record that kept that from happening. Apparently, she didn't know about that. Y'all do a background check. If you have a few dollars in your pocket, do a background check. You know what's better than a fancy handbag? A background check. You know what you're going to love more than the hottest shoes? A background check. You could buy a bunch of clothes for next season. You might regret some of those purchases. One thing you won't regret, though, is a background check. Now, the stuff that was in his past, I think we talked about this before. I can't remember. It's all a blur. None of it was like horrible, but it's just sketchy, okay? It's like overstaying your six-month visa, bank, and credit card fraud. And those are felonies. Credit card fraud is a felony, as we have heard in the Marco Marco lawsuit, what he was being accused of, what Chris from Marco Marco was being accused of. Those were big-time charges to misuse, abuse somebody else's credit card and identity. Now, we don't know the details of Simon's, but it just says, you know, another felony offense, credit card fraud. Using a different identity, omitting information in order to get temporary status, and then them finding out about that, because they're going to find out. So that's Portia. She's dealing with that. She's going to get free of that, and she's going to be okay. Lots of changes happening on Potomac. Oh, that used to be one of my favorites. I haven't watched it in a minute. And I can't really explain why. We all know the DVR took it out of me. But I would turn it on, and the magic wasn't there for me as it used to be. I love Karen. She'll always be Queen Kern to me. I was not a fan of Candace. Never had been. You know, in the recent seasons, I had watched it, and I had enjoyed her in moments where before I had not enjoyed her at all. She's still mean as a rattlesnake, though. She goes too low. She's cruel. I wouldn't even call it mean girl. It's like cruelty. Like little kid burning ants under a magnifying glass and just laughing about it. Kind of energy is what she brings to a verbal conflict on the show. So I'm happy to see her take a break. I truly am. And Robin apparently is also not coming back. And that one I was truly sad about, because Robin is one that will always deliver amusement to me. That family day event will live in my mind forever. Food out in the direct sun, just as bare bones as you could get. But there's something so real and so true about that. I have so much respect for it, because you think about all the women on Real Housewives who would have gone into insane debt to throw a little party for their cast members. How many retirement funds do you think Jen Shaw would have raided in order to have a little chalet, a Shaw chalet party for her cast members? Robin's like, here, I pop the top off a can of nuts. What else you want? She'll just put on her best pair of yoga pants, maybe her second best, and just get out there and have fun with it. And there's something to be said for that. And here's what bothered me too. I don't think that she did anything differently than what Kyle has done when it comes to not addressing pretty serious stuff on the show and then like just talking about it in passing later on another show. She got a lot of grief because, you know, her situation with her husband, Juan Dixon. I'm so glad Juan Dixon is not here. That they were dealing with the whole him paying for hotel rooms of other women, allegedly having affairs, running around on her, and they did not talk about it on the show at all. But she went into detail about it on their podcast, Reasonably Shady, that they are still in litigation with Eminem, Marshall Mathers, about you can't write this. That was some grade A BS of Robin to do. And she had to know that was wrong, and that marked her for a break, for sure. Let me also give some context here. This week, Morgan Wade on Instagram, a picture of her, Kyle comments underneath the photo, and she says, save a horse, Ride a cowgirl. Oh, really? Ride a what now? Who's going to ride it? You going to ride it? Just a public post? Just at 3 p.m. on a Monday? After a whole season? After a whole season of, I don't know, I don't know, I don't really want to talk about this, I don't know. And you're going to, with your chest, ride Save a Horse, Ride a Cowgirl. And Kyle has succeeded in completely exhausting me, and I don't want to know about this now. I don't want to know anything about this now. I'm tired of her and Mo and Morgan. They can just go off somewhere. But looking at that right there, I really, truly do not see how that is that much different than what Robin did. Maybe I'm just heated right now. But Kyle is giving more on Amazon Lives and in her background work on Buying Beverly Hills than she did on the show she is paid to be on. Put her on a break! We got to start holding these OGs accountable is what I'm saying. They can't get away with anything. We would never allow anyone else to get away with this. If Robin is being put on a break in any way, shape, or form because of hiding her stuff with Juan and then talking about it on her pod, we should hold Kyle to the same standard. Well, it was just with filming. You know, it was just the filming. It's because the cameras were rolling and they're filming. And it was just because it was ahead with the filming schedule. No, it did not. This has been in everyone's face since last June, March, April. It's been almost a year since people noticed. And like Juan can't be happy about it, you know what I mean? Robin's not going to be off filming anymore. She's going to be around. But let's hope. Let's hope they're working it out. Let's hope they've got a wonderful, magical connection and it's all good. She's still got the pod. She's probably still making those hats. It'll be fine. Things are going great for Ariana this week. She moved into a new home. Looks beautiful. There's some photos of it online because, of course, she had an agent from Buying Beverly Hills, I think, represent her and help her buy the home. And then she also got a job, which will be the host of Love Island USA, replacing Sarah Hyland. So good for Ariana. She's staying booked and busy. And then in horrible, terrible news that also did not shock me or anyone else who watched Shaws of Sunset, Mike's ex-fiance, Paulina, filed, I believe, a lawsuit, I haven't read it yet, this week with a lot of receipts about his domestic violence and abuse against her. And they had security cameras in her home, so it includes stills and I guess also footage of her being assaulted by him. And Philly Diva has a post on that, and I looked at some of the still photos. They're very upsetting, so trigger warning for you before you look at that. But this was something that his fellow friends / cast members, people who had known him for a long time, also suspected, and his behavior on the show seemed to imply it. And yet, of course, they vehemently denied anytime anybody brought it up or had concern. I think Gigi was the one who was the most concerned about it, if my memory is serving me correctly, because this on the show, I believe, all went down in like around, 2022. But I'm just glad and thankful, I'm sure all of us are, that she, Paulina, filed this and had the strength to do it and pulled all those receipts and is not just letting it go. And I hope that she gets what she's asking for in her lawsuit. And then to bring us into the valley, there's a Vanderpump adjacent story out there right now. Look, it's just Tom Sandoval looking for attention. He's never going to fill the void. He's on the cover of a magazine that I didn't know existed before today called Anima. I can't even read it because his head and his hand are blocking it. It looks like Anima Reloaded or Peloaded. And he's doing the exact pose that Christina Aguilera did back in the 2000s. He has the audacity to have a guitar on him when he's holding a pick, like he just strummed a guitar as if he creates music of his own at all. You're in a cover band, my dude. This can't be a real magazine. Let me stop and look it up. Hold on. Okay, I guess it's not a magazine. This was some sort of an advertisement that looks like a magazine, and it has to do with some capsule collection of some dude I've never heard of. And then when you click it, it's literally black t-shirts, black baseball hats. It's just black and white, and things are written in a font that looks like an animal scratch, if that makes sense to you. If you see it, you see it. It's almost like the way the 1970s band Kiss had their logo, like it's these scratchy, shaky letters. I can't even read what's on some of these objects. It's I don't get me started on this. Like, whoever created this and whoever thought of this ad campaign, I just imagine a bunch of the same kind of person around a table, all male, and they're just like, bruh, huh, bruh, bruh. But like, bruh, then what if we like, bruh, nah, bruh. But then like, bruh. If this is what does me and I need you to understand why I never spoke again, here is what the ad with the picture of Tom Sandoval, it doesn't even really look like him. It looks like Adam Lambert, which many other people have pointed out, because it does. It looks like Adam Lambert. And he's strumming. He's on red satin that's all crumpled up. And here's the fake titles of the articles that would be in this fake magazine: Ultimate Bad Boy and the Super Vans Who Love Him. I already want to fight. Next, Everybody Loves Tom. Pump Rules Rockstar. What? To quote Little John, what? Okay, then Tom Sandoval versus the entire world. Thanks for making me a fighter. I'll fight you. And then smaller, plus the most extras. Bless them. Who knows what they put up with? Who knows what they see? Why are they still around? Are they getting paid? He's in like plastic, black plastic pants, and then black biker boots and no shirt. Of course he has no shirt on. He's got a lot of eyeliner. And then this brand, I'm not even going to say the name because screw them. Then they want $35 for satin boxers with a weird thing written on it. $75 for a hoodie, a hat with spikes coming out of it. A hat with spikes coming out of it. $55. Do you hear my cat scratching to get out of the room? She can't hear about this. Somebody really thought, like, I know how to get eyeballs on these hats we want to sell. Let's get Tom Sandoval. We'll put him on the cover of a fake magazine. For sure people are going to click it. Yeah, I'm going to click it. Now I hate you forever.
Close window. Meh. That didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, did it?
All right, now that I'm warmed up, let's get into the valley, shall we? Dilly dally right into the valley. And I just want to say my favorite part about the show is that they just show him sweating. Just flop sweating every single time they go outside. Because it is very hot in the valley. When I first moved to Los Angeles forever ago, I lived in Valley Village for about 3 months. And I was like, I can't do this. It's too hot here. And I went over the hill and I never looked back. But okay, the valley. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I went in with just a clear mind. And here's the gist for you, okay? We meet a lot of couples and then two single friends. Couple number one, Jesse and Michelle. One thing you need to know, I can't stand Jesse. Me no like Jesse. Jesse making me angry. Next on the list we have Danny and Nia. They seem very sweet. I like them immediately. Then we have Jason and Janet. J and J. Janet is pregnant. Jason is a lawyer. They seem normal. Okay. They're okay. They get a thumbs up from me. Then we have Kristen from Vanderpump Rules Legacy, Kristen, and a new man she's dating. His name is Luke. And surprisingly, Luke gets a thumbs up from me. Oh, of course, and then I'm forgetting. I didn't even count them because it's like obviously the show was about them, but Brittany and Jax. So dang, it's really five couples and then two friends. 12 adults. It seems like a lot of adults that have very few actual adults capable of adulting. But anyway, okay, so then the last people are Jasmine and Zach, and they are the single friends of all of these people, all these couples. As soon as the episode starts, we hear about Kristen saying she wants to have a baby. Then we are told that Jesse and Michelle are the, quote, bougiest, and that they are real estate agents. And I immediately do not like Jesse because he says, like, dude, what the F? But he says the full F word in front of his little toddler, who is an adorable little child. I think her name is Isabella. And it's really odd to see someone who, from the exterior, looks like they should be a fully functioning adult. But then when they open their mouth and they interact, you realize that some may write. It's always such a chilling moment, you know? And Zach, when we first meet him in his confessionals, he's like, they buy houses and they have kids, but these people don't grow up. And I'm like, you're exactly right, Zach. I agree with you. Not all of them will. Ever. No matter how old they get. But we got upbeat, peppy music. We're in the valley. And we see Jax. And Jax is, he's bemoaning his day. It's so hard for him. What do you think he has to do? You think he's got to
get up at 6 a.m. and commute for an hour and a half and work at a desk and try to make his bosses happy and put a PowerPoint deck together and talk about metrics and quarterly sales. No, he's got to do cameos and he's upset about it.
Well, I've got 36 cameos to do and, you know, it takes so long to do those.
And to be clear, a cameo, the company Cameo, what they do is if somebody is even a little bit famous, a little bit well known, you can go on there and you can pay anywhere from $15, $20, $30, $50, $100, $200, whatever it is, depending on their level of fame, you know, supply and demand, basic economics 101. And then they'll sit there and they'll send you a cute little video saying whatever you want them to say, kind of. And so Jax has 36 of those. And let me see, how much does he charge? Let's go find out. Hold on. All right, I'm reading a BravoTV.com article that says that Jax charges anywhere from $9 for a message and $121 for a video. And when he was on a show called House of Villains, he said that he takes in $450,000 from his work on Cameo. Now, who knows if that was in one calendar year or since he started doing cameos, but I just did some quick math. I don't know what kind of a cut they take, but let's just say they take, you know, 20%. So let's just say that he makes 100-ish for a video. I'm not counting the $9 ones. I'm sure those add up too, though. So he would have to do 12 a day to make $450,000 a year, which adds up, especially if he has 36 to do, he's saying, on this episode of The Valley. $450,000 and the job I described of sitting in traffic and going and trying to make a boss happy and working an 8 to 10 to 12 hour day is what most people are doing for a quarter of that. But they're asking him on the show, like, what does he do? And he's like, well, you know, I'm an influencer. I'm a podcaster. I'm a father. I'm like, oh yeah, don't forget that last thing. That's kind of important too. And Brittany, I never really knew these people intimately because I wasn't a weekly watcher of Vanderpump Rules. Kept up with the news, wasn't in there. I dove in and got caught up for Scandoval, but I am not at all in it the way a lot of other people are in it. It's like I was in it for Southern Charm. You could ask me anything, fun facts about Southern Charm going back, I can answer those for you. But if you went in and started watching Southern Charm now, like if a spinoff show or something, you would know as much as I know, you know what I'm saying, about Vanderpump Rules. And I'm telling you that because I want to make it clear that I don't have any like super negative or super positive opinions of any of them. I know what I know from stuff going around. I'm aware of bad behaviors and scandals and things like that. But I personally am not carrying anything into this show. Brittany seems sweet. She always has. She comes downstairs. Her face is wrapped. Kind of like, you know, when people used to have the mumps, just wrapped all the way around her face, under her chin to the top of her head, wrapped and wrapped. And she says that they have friends who are plastic surgeons and they've done work on them before. And they show her getting, I think, more than one boob job, him getting something. And then she is saying that her face is wrapped because she just got her double chin removed. So I guess it was free or deeply discounted because they show the doctor and they showed some of her surgery. So they must have been filming it to then share on social media. What a weird world we're living in. You ever think about that? Just how weird the world is right now. It's odd. Then we go to Kristen's house in Valley Village. But it's not really, I don't think, because she's saying that she sold her house a while back and she moved in with her ex, who she's no longer with, and his name was Alex. And then he ended up kicking her out. And she had to go find some new place to live. And she met a new guy at a wedding. First of all, this is an important moment to say, if you own a home, do not give up that home to move in with a man. Rent that home out and keep that as a backup plan. I don't know if she's saying that she left a home that she owned to move in with a man who was renting. If she did, I'll never get over it. To move in with a man who owned the place is only slightly better. You're still giving up equity and a way out. But we have to move on. So now she has a place that I, again, don't know if she's renting or owning. But she has a new boyfriend, and his name is Luke, as we've said. Now, she met Luke at a wedding. She said he seemed sweet and kind and nice, and that they ended up having sex behind a tent. Mommy, how'd you meet Daddy?
But it seems to be working out, and they are both focused on her getting pregnant as soon as possible. Then we go to Danny and Nia. And Nia was a Miss USA, which is a fun fact, and somewhere Rachel is drying her eyes. Now, I have a feeling that Nia is cool because I've seen some previews of the second episode that I haven't watched yet, but they do her a little bit dirty, or she does herself a little bit dirty, because they're sitting together on a couch and she says that she had a checklist of attributes of things that she wanted for herself in a man, in a husband, was she made it, I don't know how old she was, whatever. And the checklist, and I'm like waiting on it. I'm like, okay, like what? What were you looking for? And I want you to think to yourself, the things that you would want out of a husband, a life partner, a spouse, because I was not prepared for the checklist that came up on the screen. Number one, for a life partner, a spouse, a husband, 6-pack abs. Number two, for a life partner, someone you're going to be unconscious next to, someone who will see you at your worst moments, a partner to hold your hand through this journey we call life. Second attribute, jawline. Comedy rule three, we're going to round it out with the third thing that she had on her list. Again, this is for a life partner, someone that you may or may not procreate with, but someone that you will need to be your rock, that you will rely upon. And so what qualities would that person need to have? Third thing, beautiful eyes. So yeah, I don't know how old she was when she made that list. I hope she was 10. But we kid. She did pick wisely. She did pick wisely, as you will hear later on. And we learn that Danny is an actor, and he was on iCarly and Hannah Montana. And now he does voiceover work for The Walking Dead. And they showed him making like snarling zombie noises, which was really interesting. And he must be doing okay because they are having a lot of children, and I don't know what she does. Los Angeles is a very expensive town. It's part of the reason that I do not live there anymore. They have 3 children, and he likes to say that. 3 under 2 years old. She's got 2 infants that cannot walk that she's always holding, and then she's got 1 little toddler. And they have help. She has a nanny. I don't know how often or how much or if it's every day, but she has a little bit of help. All of that is very expensive. So I'm immediately like, But voiceover work can be lucrative. So I don't know. There's got to be money in the zombie noises. You know what I'm saying? Walking Dead, give me a call. Then we see Janet and Jason. And I like them. Now, Janet is pregnant, very pregnant. She has 3 months to go. So she's ending her second trimester right now. And they show her wrapping a watermelon and then 2 melons with saran wrap onto her husband, Jason, which I love. And I think that everyone should do that. If they are in a heterosexual relationship, the man should absolutely have to put on the pregnant belly. I think I did that. Oh yeah. My husband has these like weighted vests that he uses to work out. I don't even know how much they are. They're like 20 or 30 pounds. I remember thinking they were not that heavy at all when I was pregnant because you have so much weight on your body from the baby that I was like, yeah, try 50, 60 pounds. You know what I'm saying? But he would put those on. I would make him put 2 on and then just try to walk around and live. I'd be like, how you doing? Tough going up the stairs, huh? Yeah, it's a little rough these days. Why don't you bend down and try to tie your shoes? The simplest things, just commiserate. Commiserate with a pregnant woman, you know, it's important. So she's wrapping watermelon and 2 melons on him, and then she has him sit down and try to pretend like to do the stuff that she's trying to do. I enjoyed it. I really did. And he was a good sport about it. And then in their little confessional sitting next to a couch on each other, I really like her a lot because she talks about how he's a little bit afraid of her because she would thrive in prison. She would make lifelong friends there and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, sometimes it seems like you want to go. They were funny. I liked them. All right. Michelle and Jesse. As I've said, I cannot stand Jesse. Je deteste Jesse. They're sitting on a couch and they're doing some sort of word association thing. And they say, let's get some words for you to describe Jesse. What about loving? And she just stares. And they're like, what about sexy? And she just stares. And they say extreme. And they're both into real estate. And he says, our house, I'll do his voice.
Our house behind Chateau Marmont screams ambition.
Behind Chateau Marmont. Okay. All right. Your wife's eyes scream desperation. How about that?
I'm really hoping that the entire point of this show, whether she knows it now or not, is that Michelle ends up getting free of this Jesse situation. I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Hold on, you're going to hear more about it. At a lunch with Jasmine and Zach, who again, both seem like very lovely single people who are trying to be supportive of their friends who have now bought houses and decided to procreate in the valley. They have a lunch with Kristen, and she goes into detail about wanting to get pregnant, about her new guy, Luke, and about him being from Colorado, where he owns 70 acres and runs his own business of some kind. We don't know about it yet. All we know is that he is going to spend the summer with her in the valley because they're very focused on when she's ovulating. I think it's green flags that this man is not from Los Angeles, that he is from Colorado, that he's got the 70 acres, that he seems to have a stable, calm, peaceful, real life of his own outside of this. Whereas everybody else on the show seems very fixated on the fact that he's not from Los Angeles, et cetera, et cetera. I think leave this. You can come back and film this whenever you want. Go live in peace and quiet in Colorado. Breathe some fresh, smogless air. Plant a garden. Take a nap with the birds singing. Now, during the lunch, it was very hard for me to focus because I've never seen anybody with as thick of a head of hair as Zach's hair. It's so thick. I was like almost fixated. You know what I mean? It's like one of those pictures that they show of a baby who's born with a full, thick, big old head of hair. It looks like that almost. It's almost like a Lego. You know, you can take the Lego people's hair off. It clicks on. It's so thick and it's so, it looks like that. It's truly amazing. And I start wondering, like, what can he do with this hair? You know, he could do so many styles with it. He's truly blessed. He's truly blessed in the hair department. I hope he realizes it. There's men out there trying to blow a wisp across the top of their heads. And he's just ample. Cup runneth over of follicles. All right. Then a bunch of the women go to hang out at each other's houses. And for a minute, I got confused because this is my first time watching this show. And I started confusing some of the brunettes with who are we talking about here? Who's who and who, what's what? But Brittany goes over to Nia's house. So does Michelle. There's a lot of babies. There's a lot of people. And this is where we really learn about some stuff. Now, Michelle sits down. Remember, Michelle is with the guy I can't stand, Jesse. She's the one where they have one daughter. She looks like she's 4, maybe 5. Nia is the one that has 2 infants plus a toddler. And so they're seeing her with all the babies, and Brittany's holding the youngest, you know, fresh out the cooch, as Ashley's mom would say, like a month old baby. And they're all talking about the baby fever they have and this and that. But Michelle says, oh, I don't know, you know, I have to do most of it. I would say I do 98% of the work. 98% of the work. Work being parenting, raising of a child, infant care. And Nia's like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that. Like, yes, we have these 3 kids, but Danny is so helpful. He's so in it. And we have a nanny and I'm still tired. Like, Danny gets up, does all the diaper changes, you know, when he's home. I'm like, good. This is the kind of man we should procreate with. And I hate Jesse. Because Michelle says, oh, Jesse never woke up. I slept separately with Isabella for a year. He never woke up. He wake up if I'm, you'll kick him out of that bed. What I heard was, you are very nice. I did not learn that that man was a deep sleeper. I learned that you are very kind. Put an airbag under that man's side of the bed and deploy it at 3 a.m. when the baby starts crying. Bring a bucket of water like Flashdance right above his head. They had to know that was going to rile people up. They had to know that that was going to really get people's blood boiling. So what do they do next? We cut to a scene with all the menfolk and they're all golfing. Golfing. The pastime for men who are afraid to just ask a friend to come on a walk with them outside in a park-like setting. Golfing. Apologies to anyone who loves golfing. I hated it. It makes me rage. One of the first dates that my husband, my now husband, ever took me on, he thought it'd be real cute to take me golfing. He got to know the real me that day. I almost broke a club. What a dumb game that is. How are you supposed to hit that ball? It's so tiny. And they're not even outside. They're doing this virtual golfing thing where they're inside and they're hitting a ball and it's hitting a tarp of some kind, but just a video game type golf course is being projected onto it. And we start to learn that Jax is really anti-Luke. He does not support Kristen having a child, let alone with this man. And he is very all up in their business about it. And Jesse's commentary is that Luke is, let me do his voice.
Luke is in over his head with the boys.
The boys. Is it boys with a Z? B-O-Y-Z? Why are you referring to yourself as boys? Boys. What's the reason for your separation? Ah, yes. My husband on national television referred to him and his friends as the boys. Petition for dissolution of marriage granted. From what I can tell, Luke is a real human being. Luke is not like for show or playing these games or polished up or with a fake tan. And we're going to get into that in a minute. They're talking about him that he's introverted. Maybe he's just not an a-hole. Maybe he's just not going to come into a room and just make an ass of himself. Maybe he's just a normal person and you're not used to hanging out with normal people like that. But even Brittany is talking about it, about how Jax does not like Luke and how rude he was to him at Sheena's wedding. And Brittany and Kristen are apparently very good friends, which side note, they really, this whole hookup between Jax and Kristen, what was that, 10 years ago? Not long enough for me. Wouldn't be long enough for me is what I'm saying. They show the flashback footage of Kristen and Jax admitting to having a tryst and the BJs and the sexy time, all of that. No, I could not be friends with someone who had an affair with my husband when he was dating someone else. I don't care if it was 10 years ago. But this is why these people are special, and this is why they're on TV. They can do what we cannot. Where we mere mortals draw a line in the sand, there is no sand for them. And this is where Jack starts going off to the boys. He feels comfy with them, and so he starts talking about, you know, her, Kristen, wanting a baby. Does she want it for the right reasons? What are those right reasons, Jax? What percentage of people have a baby for the right reasons? And then he says, and out of wedlock. And he's expressing concern for Kristen. That why would she have a baby with this man who lives in Colorado? And this and that could happen. And what if they break up? It's a lot of judgment from him. And nobody's really challenging him on it. Nobody's really stopping and just letting him get it all out and then saying like, but what if instead of them breaking up, he's just a horrible husband and father. There are worse things than a breakup. What if instead of him having 70 acres in Colorado and a business, he had nothing? But I don't think any of this is really about true concerns about Kristen. I think this is some emotional stuff that he's just got to get out. And I also think that saying all of these things makes him feel better about himself somehow. Like, well, I've made better choices. That's the story he can say to himself to make him feel like he's really done some good things. It reminds me of good old-fashioned mom shaming. She hasn't even had a baby yet, and he's already subjecting her to the, I don't know, you know, breast is best. What if your boobs don't make enough? What then? My rule is avoiding a nervous breakdown is best. Whatever you gotta do to avoid a nervous breakdown is the best thing you can do for yourself and your baby. Women are too scrutinized. Every choice, every decision, everything. And yet these men, the boys are getting off pretty scot-free here. Now we're going to get into something that I found very enlightening about Jax and Brittany in this episode. They live within walking distance of Jason and Janet. Janet is the one who's pregnant. Jason is the one who is the attorney. And they walk over to their house with their stroller. And they come in and you can tell that they're very familiar with each other. They've been there a lot. Jax goes and puts his child in the other room so they can finish their nap in the stroller. and they get to talking. And they say that the four of them, those couples, hang out 3 to 4 times a week. And I yelled out, hell no. Oh, hell no. Now, I know couples like this. I know couples like this. We all do. If you're a couple like that, I don't know how you do it. You must be an extrovert. I cannot. 3 to 4 nights a week. Why don't you just move in together at that point? Damn. And you can tell that Jax has a lot of respect for Jason because he's a lawyer. And Janet, again, she's so funny. She says in a little confessional that, like, Jax attributes a lot of traits to lawyers. Like, oh, he does that because he's a lawyer. When he's just doing things that a normal adult would do. And she says, like, opening the mail. I can't. I'm going to go into a coughing fit. But just simple things. Jason just says the simplest things. And Jax is just like, well, yeah, you're a lawyer. And I'm thinking, what is in this for Jason and Janet? What are they getting out of this? Jax comes over there, flop sweating. He's wearing a white t-shirt. The armpits of both armpits, both one and two, left arm and right arm, are a dirty, dark brown, orangey color. More brown than orange. And to their credit, they call him out and they're like, well, what's up with that? Are you like sweating out coffee? And he blames it on fake tanner. Why are you getting that much fake tanner? Why is it in your armpits? Did you just get spray tan before you walked over here? And like I said, it's hot in the valley. They didn't walk very far and they were just sweating by the time they got there. But for real, what if we all just stopped fake tanning? I used to go get a fake tan every now and then. Oh, let's tell a story. When I lived in Los Angeles, there was a place called Sunset Tan, and they had like a reality show about them a long time ago. Anyway, I would go there and I would get the spray tan. Oof, the smell, I'll never forget it. And then, you know, you're just like sweating, you're like you're just greasy, and you're slowly turning a darker color over the next like 2-3 hours. And you're just hoping, like, please don't be on my palms. Please don't be on my palms. Like, please don't have like a drip mark somewhere. It's a very tense time. And then the people who have the skill and patience to apply it to themselves with a little mitt and do all that stuff. If you're irritated of giving yourself fake tans, I'm saying let it go and just be what you are. I will take being pale over brown armpit stains and a white tee. Oh, and you know what I always think of too? All the Real Housewives B-rolls that we've seen where they're just wrecking furniture. Remember when that woman, Barbara, was on, remember she had her own like tool set or whatever that she sold? She was on New York and she, for 5 minutes for one season, and she put tanner everywhere, all over some hotel room. And then speaking of Southern charm, Catherine always had fake tanner on, and it was like on the doorknobs of her house and everywhere when they would show her house, it was just all over the place. It's just like we're little fake tanner slugs and we just leave a trail behind us wherever we go. But I'm sorry. I mean, it just put me in a weird place. It put me in a really weird place seeing his armpits just oozing. Some sort of, I don't know if it was a chemical reaction. You know how I am about armpits. But while they're hanging out, this foursome who hangs out 3 to 4 times a week, they talk about a baby shower, I believe, for Janet. And Brittany is going to throw it for her, like a pool party baby shower. So that's the next scene that we go to. We jump there. And it is nice. It is catered. It is decorated, like professionally. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, how much money was that? And where do they get this money from? And I'm like, oh, yes, Cameo. I guess Cameo, and they have a podcast together. They make the show The Valley. I don't know where else they're getting paid from. But even that, even what I'm trying to imagine in my mind, that doesn't even seem like enough money to be throwing a party like that. Because they show a nanny for Jax and Brittany there at some point. Some sort of childcare is there for them to help with their son while they're having this party. All of this adds up. I'm just seeing dollar signs. And you gotta forgive me. I am old school Bravo. I have been watching since the very first show. I have seen people in financial ruin as a result of being on Bravo. So I'm always on the lookout like, oh God, that looks expensive. But it is a very nice party. And the theme is county fair. How adorable is that? And Brittany did it up. I don't know who she used, if she used a party planner or if she did it all herself, but it's really nicely done. And when Janet walks in, she is so excited. She didn't know what the theme was going to be. And she walks in and she's like, I love county fairs. And there is no better compliment than the person you are throwing a party for loving every choice you made. Nothing better. They had funnel cakes with actual powdered sugar, all kinds of county fair food, hot dogs. And then this is where it got a little odd for me because I don't make this connection in my mind. They had a tattoo artist giving actual real tattoos. I was like, is that a county fair thing? Was I just too young? Was I just a child when I went to county fairs and didn't realize that it was also a hotbed for a new tattoo? Now here's a little nugget from the baby shower. We have Michelle and Kristen talking. And Kristen's getting a lot of heat from the Peanut Gallery boys about what she's going to do, which really distracts. And should she have a baby with this man and whatever? Is she ready? Have they not been dating long enough? Blah, blah. And Michelle is saying to her, hey, I was with Jesse for 8+ years before we had kids. And, you know, we didn't talk about how exactly we were going to do it. And Kristen's nodding. And I think she's thinking that Michelle is saying to her, like, hey, we didn't have everything figured out. You don't have to have everything. That's not what she's saying. She flips it and she's like, so I think you should talk about everything about how, what kind of a parent you're going to be, choices you're going to make once you have a child. She says, because we didn't and we should have. And Kristen's like, okay, yes. Okay, oh. And again, I say to Michelle, live your life. What was that about? What choices are made that you don't agree with? What is going on? Be free. Then we cut to Jesse talking to Jax about how things are not good with him and Michelle. I wonder why, Jesse. I wonder why. And he says it's been since the baby came. the baby? The baby is like 4 or 5. Baby can tell time. And that they have had a discussion. I don't even know because it was a blur as it was happening. I was writing notes and I don't know if he said separation or divorce, but the conversation has been had is what he said. Then Sheena, Brock, and Lala show up and Jax Flintstones runs over to Lala and starts talking mad crap about Kristen with her.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if anybody should know, you know, like, it's really hard to be like a single mother. And like, here she is trying to have kids. And like, she's gonna, what if something happens?
Lala's really not like egging Jax on, though. She's more talking about like she can't believe how many relationships Kristen has had in the past like year or two, and she can't find one man, which is pretty funny. Lala said she throws that puss around and diamonds come out. Then we pan over to where Kristen is at the moment, and she's over at the tattoo area. She's about to get a tattoo. And Jesse is in line as well, the man I can't stand. And he's waiting and she wants to cut him in line. She's like, mine's so little. I just wanted to get really one real quick. And he's like, no, I've been waiting. So she reaches over and she squeezes and twists his nipple. She does a little nipple tweak to him through his shirt. Now they are on camera and he reaches over to do it back. And she goes on about how inappropriate that is. And she really likes Michelle, but does not like Jesse. She just puts up with him because he's married to Michelle, this person that she does like. To which I say, I would have 100% expected him to do that. And I met this man 15 minutes ago, you know? Outwardly, he may appear as an adult with a house beyond the Chateau Marmont that screams ambition. But he will absolutely reach back over there and try to do the same thing to you just did to him. So beware. And why are we touching nipples anyway? I'm so serious. I would rather walk on glass than touch one of Jesse's nipples. Why are you doing this? Why are you making this go through my mind at all? Everybody on this show is just doing too much. They're just a little, we're not even at the real stuff yet. Let's keep going. Then we see Michelle talking to Jesse and she says, hey, who has our daughter? Where's our daughter? Do you want to go check on her? He says no and keeps walking. Michelle, get the house. Get the house, get half, and move on with your life. Then, real loud, in the kitchen, Jax is just holding court. It is his kitchen, and he's telling all of his boys who will gather and listen to his prophecy of how Kristen is making mistakes and poor choices. And this is all veiled with concern. And it's all the same stuff we've been hearing the whole episode of, does she just having the baby for the right reasons? This guy lives in Colorado. Blah, 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 blah. Well, Lala sees this and hears this, and she says, quote, there's a bunch of men talking about motherhood. None of them are mothers. I'm getting Kristen. And I love her for that. I love her for seeing that, clocking it, and being like, let's bring Kristen in here, and you guys feel free to say all of this to her. And Kristen comes in, and she handles herself well. She's used to these people. She's been around them a lot. She's talking about how, like, no, you know, I didn't want a baby with my ex, Alex. And Jax, like a toddler himself, yells out, blurts out at the top of his lungs, you said, you were sitting right over there in my house, and you said for him to come inside you. And we're going to add that to the list of things I never needed to know about. Things I never needed to hear. There's supposedly something that members of the royal family say to themselves before they make a statement. And this is according to The Crown, and it's, does it need to be said? And does it need to be said by me? And Bravo celebrities are the exact opposite. In fact, theirs might be, is this disturbing? And will it haunt the viewer and give them the gags for weeks to come? Yes and yes. Perfect. And Jax just keeps going off. He's like, what if you break up? What if you break up? And then I paused my little screen and I said, what if the dad is an egomaniac, emotionally stunted, childish person who does more damage by being around? There are worse things than a breakup. What if he's very supportive, a very supportive father to the child, regardless of whether or not they work out long term? But again, this is not really about that. I think Jax is just trying to seem and moreover feel morally superior to someone for once. And Kristen is being very nice in return because she really could have ended him. And she's not. She's like letting him say his piece over and over and over again. So Nia and Danny, they're like, we got to go. We got a bunch of kids. We got babysitters at home. I don't even know if they brought any of their children with them. So they're taking a photo with Jason and Janet, you know, because it is their baby shower. That's the reason for this whole shindig. And as they're all four of them smiling, taking a photo, Jax flip-flop runs, which is the worst run that could exist, flip-flop runs up behind Danny, the only father and husband other than Jason that seems to be really holding his own in fatherhood, and he pulls his swim trunks down. He pantsed him. Here's the thing about swim trunks, though. They have the little mesh undies in them. So he pulled them down and he had a long t-shirt on, thank goodness. But all his stuff was out. There's children there. There's children there. Okay. And Nia, Danny's wife, her reaction is exactly what you would think anybody would. She's disgusted. She's horrified. She's mad. She's sad. She's embarrassed for her husband. She's hurt for her husband. And she walks off immediately and goes to a bedroom. I think one of her infants was in the bedroom with a nanny or something, and she's crying. And nobody better say a damn thing about this woman shedding tears. She pushed a baby out a month ago. Hormones are so powerful and so real. If you think you would have laughed that off in the moment, you might have, but you might not have if you just had a baby. It can be hard to describe to people, like, the emotions and the flood of everything that hits you when you just have a baby. The best way that I could describe it is you feel like it's the most optimistic but also horrifying moment in life. I remember being filled with so much love and compassion and understanding for humanity as a whole, realizing that every single one of us walking this earth, as flawed as we are, as great as we are, we were all infants and someone hopefully loved us, cared for us, fed us, kept us warm. We were all completely helpless. And I remember thinking, like, the point of all of this is, you know, help each other through this crazy journey that we have. And there's a depth of sadness there as well that just is, like, if you have postpartum, you get it. Like, it's just there. You don't know why it's there, but there's a sadness there too. But it's very, very deep.
as in powerful and meaningful. And I'm not saying that she has PPD at all. She could just have normal emotions, you know, from having had a baby a month ago. Even without it, even without the sadness, it's still a powerful thing. And so for her to have left the house, first of all, she is on camera with two infants, her husband, who is there with her in the trenches, getting up, changing diapers. They both go to this thing. They're on this show, and he gets pantsed at the first event by the number one guy in the group, the guy that him and his wife have the podcast. Him and his wife are hosting the party. And like immediately, everybody's going into damage control. Damage control. Brittany and all the other ladies and wives and spouses are following her into the bedroom. And Brittany's like, I don't think he didn't mean it like that. He didn't. I don't think he realized what was going to. What? You don't think he. Come on. Come on, Brittany. Stop. And she's like, it was a bad joke. It was a bad joke. Jax is very lucky to have found someone like Brittany who is willing to really try to clean up his messes as soon as he makes them like that. And Nia is crying and she's like, it's just so wrong. And Brittany does apologize. She's like, I'm so sorry. And she makes Jax come in and apologize as well. And Nia says in her confessional, she says, I'm already so overwhelmed. I just had a baby. I'm just too old for that. And we all are, Nia. Everybody at the party is too old for pantsing. Excuse me, not a party, a baby shower. We're all a little old for pantsing someone at a baby shower when he was taking a photo with the pregnant woman whose baby shower it is. And that's really where they leave it. That's the end of that episode. And then they tee up stuff for episode two. So you all will have to let me know if you're watching the show, if you're enjoying this show. I don't know yet. I like Nia. I like Danny. I like Janet and Jason-ish, but it's my first time ever meeting them. But the fact that they hang out with Jax 3 to 4 nights a week. Maybe he's better off camera. I don't know. If this show is a testament to anything, it's a testament to the fact that just because you have had a child doesn't mean that you really have your stuff together. Just because you're older and you sign some papers to either rent a house or have a mortgage doesn't mean that you have your stuff together. And it's really trippy to be watching parents of small children acting like this, thinking about when you were little, seeing adults around you and just assuming that they really had everything on lock. And looking at it from the other side, you're just sort of like, you know, when do you ever have it together? And it's not age-based. And it doesn't automatically hit you when you have a kid. And it doesn't automatically hit you when you have a house or when you turn 40 in Kristen's situation or any of that. And the article that was written about Tom Sandoval, I think it was the New York Times or Vanity Fair, it's all a blur to me at this point. It was really about how, especially I think the Vanderpump Rules people, they get caught up in this machine of salaciousness. And days, weeks, months, years go by. And the calendar moves and the calendar evolves, but they do not. And I think real change does need to happen when partnered with introspection and a quiet moment and self-reflection. And I don't think that they ever have time to do that. I think it's just always crazy and one thing to the next. And how am I going to pay this bill? And let me go do a cover band. And then I'm going to do this and I'll do some cameos. And I don't know if anybody ever has a chance to sit and think, do I like who I am? How do I make the people around me feel? Any of those questions? Hopefully some of them do. But what I see in Sandoval, that kind of thing, and maybe a little bit in Jax here, we'll find out because this show is really going to get into it. We haven't seen him for a minute. My takeaways from watching The Valley. Jax is very lucky to have Brittany. Kristen should just do whatever she wants to do. And I don't want to hear about wedlock anymore for her. And I also don't want to hear about ovulation. Michelle needs to be making an exit plan. And Jesse should no longer speak. Luke seems like a quality person. And I wish that he would step up more instead of these other fools sucking all the air out of the room. Danny and Nia are too sweet and kind for this show. Janet and Jason are providing me the comic relief that I need to keep going. It's really Janet. Let's give her the flowers where the flowers are due. Jasmine and Zach, I think they're kind of like the voice of reason. You know what I mean? So they can feel free to keep judging these crazy friends of theirs. And this show has completely ended any fantasy that I ever had about living in a place where there were a bunch of other couples with little kids and we would all hang out together. That's gone now. Thank you, The Valley. I'll watch episode 2 tomorrow. I'll see if it gets better or if it's insufferable or what the deal is with this show. It's just really irritating. Like, I can't watch Vanderpump Rules because there's too many annoying men on that show. And so I hate that The Valley, the reasons I don't want to watch it are because I'm already so annoyed by two of the men. If I could just limit the amount of Jax and Jesse that I have to live through, I could handle this show, I think. But I'll tell you what. Maybe my biggest takeaway is this. This reminds me of like when I put on the show Hoarders. Nothing will get me to clean my house faster than watching an episode of Hoarders. And watching this episode of The Valley makes me want to really get my life together. Makes me want to wake up early tomorrow, get a good workout in, make sure all my bills are paid, I don't owe any little balance here and there, copay this. Like, having Jax as an adulthood cautionary tale, that might be motivational and helpful to me in all actuality. Like a WWJD, like, what would Jax do? And then I do the opposite of that. Jax wouldn't double check to make sure that bill got processed, but you can. This could actually be useful for me. I'll report back. I hope you all appreciated me watching The Valley because I didn't want to. And then I saw some sparks of positivity and some people were like, you should watch The Valley. Now I've done it. Now I've watched it. Now we'll see if I can handle it and keep going. There's not a lot on right now, which I do love these moments. You gotta love an ebb and a flow with Bravo. There are times when we're really in the trenches and we got like 4 and 5 shows on at one time. When you're in a lull, you gotta enjoy it. You really do. In the meantime, like and subscribe to this pod. DM me and let me know if you want me to stick with The Valley or if you think there's a show that's worthier of a recap. But whatever you do, don't be like Jax. I know life is stressful and cameos are a lift, but if your wife is throwing someone a baby shower and that pregnant woman is taking photos with someone, do not flip-flop run over there with a goofy grin and pull down a grown man's pants. Because nothing says life of the party like making new moms cry and risking exposing small children to adult genitalia. Just don't do it.